Welcome to Rusak Gamers.
All right, we're recording. What do you want to talk about?
Okay, so Jason had to work. Joe had a family in town. He wanted to spend some time with. Todd's taking care of sick loved ones at home. So that leaves me and Doug, Bill, and of course, Roy. So we're just.
Hey, by the way, what was with all the hate in the game I missed?
What hate?
There's just nothing but hate on Roy.
And like that compares to the game I missed? Nothing but hate on me. That was horrible.
Oh, let's talk about Jeff. Yeah.
Well, that was...
Screw all of you.
That was Joe that said that, wasn't it? Let's talk about Jeff.
Joe and Todd.
That's all right. I don't care.
I don't mind.
Look, it's okay.
Yeah, so I guess we were going to chat. We talked about continuing on the Dungeon World, but seeing as half the people aren't here... So this past weekend, I gamed with my son.
Oh, cool.
He's five.
Just by himself?
And
or?
His cousin came over, and he spent the night, and then we played the night before, and then Saturday and then Sunday, and he's seven. And we tried Hero Kids, which is a game. It's out there. Maybe you can Google it. I don't have the website off the top of my head. But it's real simple. You get four stats basically, and strength, intelligence, and dexterity. And strength is for fighting, and intelligence is magic. And if you have skills and you use that intelligence skill, you start with a base one die, and then you get up to one to three dice for skill, or zero to three dice for skills. And so you use those, and then you have a defense, and basically you create the characters are created. You get they give you sample characters to use, but it's a four die system. But if you take a magic skill, that reduces it by one die from the beginning. So mages only have three dice to play with, but warriors and rogues and stuff have four dice to play with. And then you get like a special ability that's really, they almost make them up on the fly, and you can just say you have this ability and use it. And so they played and they had a really good time. It was a lot of fun.
HeroKidsRPG.blogspot.com.
Yes. Yes. And it, no, put that if in the show you notes. Go to, yeah, and if you go to RPG, DriveThruRPG,
are they up and running again?
Yeah. And we'll talk about that too. DriveThruRPG, and they had a bundle package. It was like the base game plus four adventures for like $10 and it's a real, I picked it up. I learned the rules in about 15 minutes, read through it. We sat down and played, and they have paper with the maps already done. So you print up the module and then you just lay the maps out.
Hmm.
Room by room by room.
Sweet.
Yeah, which is great. And then you just cut out, the characters. They have little paper minis that you cut out. You fold them over and put them down. For the second game, I actually used miniatures because I was in a hurry and didn't want to.
Got a lot of miniatures too.
Yeah, I got a ton of miniatures. So, but
Hero Kids Ultimate PDF. Collection $11.99.
Yep, and they and if you have and it's a great game for kids four to eight, four to nine, four to ten. I mean, but if you think they're too young to pick up Pathfinder or something, this is a good way to, if you want to spend some time with them. And we played for about an hour each time, and they loved it both times. Yeah, first time they were captured and they were fighting. They were on a boat on the ship. They have one where you have to go and you fight the ghost pirate.
Ooh.
It was kind of cool. They like that.
Pirates are awesome.
Yeah, pirates
are
cool.
Ghosts are awesome.
And then then we played the next one, and we kind of played them out of order, but the next one was, we played the Rat King Adventure, because I wanted something a little quicker. And they went and they fought a bunch of rats and the Rat King. They had a good time. There's no advancement, though. There's no real way to advance the characters. That would be my only critique, but, when you're talking about these, we're talking about kids, you give them something. And it was hilarious because at the end of the Rat King adventure, you're thinking, oh, well, what do we want to give? And at the end of it, say, well, because you're saving the son of the tavern owner, hostess, and she says, well, I guess you guys get free ice cream for a month, and they went crazy. We get free ice cream! You know, so that was the big reward. It's not gold, it's not magic, it's not a fact, it's free ice cream.
Well, we've talked before, me running Pathfinder games for my niece's nephew, and if you have an opportunity to run a game for kids, do it.
Oh,
it is so much fun watching them react.
Well, it was so funny because, you know, it was a big weekend, I guess, you know. But a guy I know from college, and I haven't talked to him in probably 20 years, but we're friends on Facebook, and got a message from him, and he just wanted to know that he had run for he's got two kids, and I guess they're about that age, 10, 8 to 10, 8 to 12. He had run for them. They begged him to play D&D. And so it was his kids, and again, I don't know if they're cousins or if they were friends, but four kids total. And he was talking about, you know, it was an absolute blast.
Yeah.
Because you get to go back and see what it was that first was so magical about playing this crap. When we were kids, and it was just amazing, you know, because it's so different when you get older, and but with your kids, man, it's
magical.
It's magical. Just watching them play is just amazing. It's just amazing. And he just happened to say, "Hey, I was playing. It was great."
Is this someone you used to game with in college, or?
I went game with him a couple of times. Yeah. It wasn't like a regular group, but some of the guys I had classes with and stuff. So it was, but it was nice. It was nice to hear from him. And then you had the big announcement from,
Wizard of the Coast.
Wow, and Drive-Thru RPG with all the out of print stuff, being released.
I don't think all of it's out.
No, it's definitely not. It's not. I don't even think it's a good portion of it. I think it's a fraction.
Yeah.
But there is a nice selection.
Oh, yeah.
Of stuff that's out there.
The basic Red Book.
Yeah, it goes all the way back.
Red Box.
And don't get me wrong, I mean, I'm not interested in going back and playing first edition. I mean, I might do it for a lark. But, but it's neat to see all those. You go back and you buy, and the modules are like $5 a piece or something. So you could go back and you could look at them and review them for nostalgic purposes and stuff. I mean, I would.
The only problem is you're still never going to get the deities and demigods with the Cthulhu mythos and the
copyright infractions.
Yeah,
we had that one. I was thinking about buying one and using it for the Dungeon World game. That's what I would probably use it for. Get the story and just slap it down and play with. That's what I would use it for primarily. But I was trying to find one and I didn't.
I love that book,
but it felt like kind of a cop out. What's that?
The deities and demigods.
Yeah.
I love that. I never played at that age. Mm-hmm. But when that was out, I borrowed that from a buddy of mine.
He had a little drawn nudie pictures and stuff in there.
Well, yeah, it was that too, but I mean.
Boobies. Yeah.
What was that? We were talking about art, D&D artists the other day, and that was Aerolotus,
yeah.
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 One of the guys in one of our other groups did not know who Larry Elmore was. Even though he games under a giant picture of it every week, in my game room.
So anyway, you got Bill.
Bill,
any comments?
No, not really.
So,
read any good books lately, Bill?
Actually, no, I haven't.
I just read. I just finished Monty Cook's Small Things. It's a collection of short stories that he just released.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's a neat story. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good on you, Monty Cook. Good on you. And, Numenera is, being released through Kickstarter. It's got some new updates on that.
It's not supposed to actually release until almost Gen Con, though, I think.
No, probably not.
I mean, even for the Kickstarter people.
No. I don't know when the PDF comes out for that. I have to look, but.
Yeah.
Oh, they got some updates and
I did
got
not the page get in on that you
go
one.
And look at it. Really?
I did not get in on that one. I figured I'd wait and see how people thought about it and maybe pick it up then, but I did not get in on it. one of the few Kickstarters I didn't get into.
Well, I just didn't think that Monte Cook deserves the benefit of the doubt when it comes to certain things, so.
Well, I didn't,
like the book, I had no idea, like, oh, he's got a book. I saw it on Twitter and I went, bought, read it.
There was,
a good book.
The stuff he did at Malhavoc Press, it was essentially the exalted stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't my cup of tea. I mean, it was.
Well, he did that city, that huge,
Well, that was cool. It was totally priced.
Yeah.
It was priced out of my range, but it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing it at Gen Con. This thing was like 6 inches tall, laying down.
You know, it's the kind of thing now I would probably buy it. Then when it first came out, like, it's a little pricey, but now I probably would. I would have bought it if it came out now, if I was still playing 3/5. Not a caveat there, but.
A lot of caveats there. If I was still playing this, if I was doing that.
If I was still, well, if, it was
if
still,
I knew
if
now,
I was still
I
running. If I was running.
If I was a little boy.
So, if I was still running 3/5, I might do it.
Yeah, that's not going to happen again.
Never say never.
I will.
Well, I was debating taking all my Eberron stuff and selling it at Gen Con this year, and then.
Then all the PDFs came out.
And they started releasing the PDFs on. Well, now I know what my price range is.
Yeah.
I mean, I think people will pick it up for a hard
They might. Money. They might.
Yeah. Hey, if you're listening, you got our number, you're interested in buying, you know, I'll cut a deal for somebody to sell. I have pretty much every Eberron book.
I sold most of mine.
I don't think I have the character sheets. I think that's the only thing I don't have.
People still like hard copies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know I'm definitely a fan.
You know, I've been.
I know where you can pick up some Eberron books. We'll see.
I heard that someplace.
I don't know about the guy who's selling it though. He's kind of a tool.
Wow.
Yikes.
I don't think we picked up Roy at all.
Think,
or at least not nearly enough.
Not nearly enough.
What did we say about? I can't remember what we said. What did we say about you when you were here?
I don't know. It was actually kind of funny. I was laughing.
I remember
the one part. It was Roy, right here you need to put a spoiler alert in for yourself.
Oh, yes.
And I'm like, yes. Yeah, all right, fine. All right. Yeah, I love that.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
But those weren't attacks on him as a person, unlike me when I wasn't here.
On love, yeah. On love.
Yeah, shut up.
No, I've sold almost all the books. I've sold every book I think that I want to sell. I mean, I've still got all my Dragonlance books. Those aren't going anywhere. I sold every one of my Forgotten Realms books except for two of them.
Yeah. Well, we just had some shelves built, so in the house. And if we have as much space as I think we're going to have, I may actually bring them back out of the shed and stick them in there.
Oh, they're in the shed?
They're in the shed. They're in the shed. They're in a nice plastic container, but they're in the shed. So many place to put them.
You know what you ought to do? You ought to buy a larger shed, game out there.
Thought about that too.
There's one of the co-hosts of the No Direction podcast lives in Eastern Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
and that's what he's doing. He got a large shed.
Well,
and he's insulating it.
Yeah, I thought about it. Well, that's. And not at this house, I don't think. But if we buy it,
you got a huge backyard.
When we move, I may, if we don't have a man cave in there, I may convince my wife to let me put a shed out back and then run some electricity to it and insulate it and everything and put in a zone unit or something. And then we have a space and I can put all my crud.
I mean,
all my crap out there.
The way he's doing his game room up, it's supposed to look. It's supposed to have a tavern look to it.
Yeah, that's
the way
cool.
He's done it.
Did other pictures?
He's got some online on the forum. But 3.5 Private Sanctuary is the website.
I think I've seen it.
The
will
forums,
you post a link?
Yeah, I'll put a link in the. Show.
Okay.
Yeah, no problem. Link
because that's
to Parham. That's the guy's name.
That's what I'd like to do. Have like a little cottage or something.
It's nice.
A little hobbit house.
It's nice having your own room. Bill's having issues with his glasses.
got caught in his hair. Of course, Roy Doug and I are all sitting there going,
jealous.
We don't have that problem.
Yeah. Jealous.
Bangs. I remember bangs.
I think I'm a little beyond bangs at the moment.
Yeah, just a smidge. I got some shears back there.
I think when I had bangs, people were in parachute pants. No, it was at least stonewashed. It was stonewashed, yeah. It's...
Wow.
What's the acid wash?
Acid wash! Oh, what a ridiculous thing. Stonewashed jeans, you put your hands in the pockets for the first time and get little pebbles in them?
Yep.
Roll, man, roll!
Judge, continue?
Hell yeah.
That's you haven't seen Continuum?
Uh-uh. Watch Continuum.
It started the week of the 14th?
Last week, yeah.
Yeah, it's really good.
Really?
They've had two episodes so far.
What's it about? Time travel.
It starts off in the future.
30 years?
60 years. 60 years in the future. And, these 5-10-ish, terrorists are going to blow up the Congress, which at that point in time, the government's run by
corporations.
It's the corporate Congress, because corporations bailed out the country and bought it. And these guys are trying to set things back the way they were. So they get caught. That's like the first 3 minutes.
Well, they blow the building up.
They blow the building up, but they get caught. They killed like 50,000 people to kill 8 or 12 or something like that. And they're being executed. And as they're all standing, it's kind of a lot like Logan's Run, where they're all around the primrose and they're all going to be, you know, sanctuary or whatever. And right before the thing goes off, one of them tosses something into it.
Big metal ball.
And there's this cop there.
Any spoiler alerts here?
No, this is like the first 5 minutes of the show.
Okay.
There's a cop there, and she runs over to stop him. And as she gets there, explosion, and they're blown back in time into the present day.
And 2012.
So the show is about, I guess, her...
2012?
2012. They're blown back to 2012.
Yeah.
And so, like Doug's saying, the show is about the cop trying to stop them from changing the future.
That's their plan. They want to go back in the past and stop the corporations from
But at the same time, she begins to get ideas, well, maybe what they're doing, they're maybe going about the wrong way, but maybe they're not entirely wrong for wanting to do what they're doing. So I've actually seen the whole series because it was filmed. It was run in Canada's Science Channel, which is their version of sci-fi, and it's really good.
It's really good.
She's got really cool tech too.
Yeah.
The cops in the future have these body suits that do all kinds of stuff.
All cops in the future are cute.
Yes, she's pleasing to look at. She's new too. They kind of go through the background in the second episode. They go through her indoctrination, so you can tell she's kind of new and.
Indoctrination.
All the tech, the tech they go through, they get a chip implanted in their brain, and they look into a thing, and boom, they automatically know everything. They get trained in an instant.
Yeah, so it's kind of like that part's kind of like the Matrix. Mm-hmm. They also have to upload their memory because they're constantly getting input all the time. And so
they're like an in-car video for the police car.
Yeah. And then they have to upload that. They have to upload that to another system so it, you know, it could be analyzed or whatever. So it's really cool stuff. It's pretty, as far as future tech goes, it's not that far out there. It's pretty well extrapolated. And then of course you're only seeing the suits, in our time. You know, they do some stuff in the future, but very little. And so there's a mystery going on in the background of who's behind this whole, the whole group, the whole suicide bomber group or whatever you want to call them, the terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's actually behind that, what's going on. And it builds throughout, I think, 12 episodes. It's not actually that long, but it's really good. Really, really good.
It's a real interesting bit in the very first episode where they're talking about the dangers of time travel. And the different philosophies about how you can go back in time and change the past, or you went back in time because you've already done it. She goes back in time and she meets the guy who invented the tech she's using. Only he's just inventing the tech now. So that's the whole kind of, did he invent the tech because he was supposed to invent the tech, or did he invent the tech because she came back and helped him finish it kind of thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
You just blew my mind.
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
It's good stuff.
Quit being mean. Don't be mean.
I'm not being mean.
Don't be mean.
Am I being mean?
Just a little bit.
I didn't think I was being mean.
Snarky, maybe. I didn't think it was
mean. Yeah, no, okay, snarky. Yeah, I'll agree.
Well, they did a... Well, interesting. Maybe I'll check it out. What channel is it on?
Sci-fi.
Yeah. Sci-fi?
It's on Video On Demand. You can download the first the episodes you missed.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Fair warning, it's Canadian.
Did they say a boot?
Probably.
I haven't heard anyone say A yet, though.
What's this a boot?
What's this a boot, A?
And Being Human started back up?
Yes.
That's been really good.
Oh, that's really good.
Well, which one are you watching?
I'm watching the American version.
Okay. I've seen all the
British. Well, we were starting to look at the British stuff when my wife and I started having withdrawals. We were like, well, we could go to the British stuff. Yeah, but it just started up now. We've been following the American one. I wouldn't mind checking out the British one, but.
I've got it on Blu-ray.
They go in vastly different directions.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Have y'all seen Spaced? Did you ever see Spaced?
Not seen Spaced yet.
With Simon Pegg? Oh my god, you guys have to watch that.
It's one of the things I haven't watched.
I don't think it's maybe two seasons? One season, two seasons?
It's not long.
Yeah, I mean, there's
12 episodes, I think.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. Really good stuff.
Well, they killed Alphas, too, by the way.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they killed it.
Oh.
It's not coming back.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. I was a little sorry that they didn't decide to actually do, like, a crappy Saturday night sci-fi movie to tie up the big cliffhanger that they gave you. I guess you're just supposed to... it's several weeks past.
I'm not thought of.
In the end, everyone seems to be dead, except for the autistic kid who can see signals.
I don't even know who that is.
You never saw Office?
No. Gary.
Oh, Gary. Gary was the character of Gary was, he was autistic and he could see signals in the air. So anything that was being broadcast, he could interface with. He can access and see, hear, whatever it was.
Like Heroes.
It was Heroes done better. You know how good the first half of the first season of Heroes was?
Actually, I think the story in Heroes were better, but I think the characters in Alpha are more
interesting. Characters in Alpha are much better.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases, the acting was better in Alpha.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Not all cases, but a lot of cases.
Yeah. See, I'm not watching a lot of TV anymore. Being Human, Walking Dead.
Well, that's not even on right now.
I know. Fine. Well,
gotta fill that void with something.
And I'm still...
Ripper Street!
I'm recording that.
Okay. I saw the first episode.
Is it good?
Really good.
Is it better than, what's the other one?
Coppers?
I stopped watching. I lost interest.
It got
a little weird with the little girl and everything.
Oh, God. Actually, she was the best part about it. I liked that storyline. But that went on a little too long. It ended up dealing with some actual events that happened in New York. Time period right after the Civil War.
Yeah, it felt like it was meandering a little bit.
It did. You know, I'm not going to argue with that.
So,
Ripper Street. I've seen the first episode, and it deals with it's like 6 or 7 months after the last murder of by Jack the Ripper. So people are still really paranoid, waiting for another murder to happen. So anytime a murder happens, it's did Jack do it? Is he back? You know. So there is a. It's almost like a police procedural done in that time period under those circumstances. So, it was really good. It was a nice mystery they had in the first episode. It kind of reminded me of the first Sherlock Holmes movie without the weird, crazy, super fast, super slow, this is the way it goes down this particular thing that they did, and the steampunk aspects. None of that's it. But it had that feel, there's the background music is quite similar. So, it's good. I enjoyed it.
Looking forward. A lot of fiddle.
A lot of fiddle. A lot of fiddle.
A lot of old drum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A
lot of jigs.
A lot of jigs and stuff. Yeah. Good stuff.
I like the fast slow thing.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's without that.
For a movie to show,
thought processes,
mm-hmm. it's nearly impossible to do. I thought, it was a very plausible, passable way to let people realize just how smart he was supposed to be.
I thought it was ingenious. I thought it did a great job. I'm just saying that it doesn't have that kind of thing in there. It doesn't have the steampunk aspects that kind of creeped into it.
Yeah. There's something, Sherlock Holmes is always going to be fantastical because it's not real.
Right. It's not real? There's not real Sherlock Holmes?
Well, it's really he's in New York right now with,
oh yeah.
Whatever.
Lucy Liu?
Yeah. Have you seen Sherlock the British?
Oh yes.
That's good stuff.
Who's the...
Benedict Cumberbatch?
And that, what's his name?
Martin Freeman. Yeah.
Martin Freeman's the...
He plays Watson.
Watson, right. Mm-hmm. Okay. No, I haven't seen him.
Well, and Sherlock, not only is he the villain in the next Star Trek movie,
yeah,
he's also Smaug.
He plays the voice of Smaug.
Oh, does he?
Hmm. Yes. Yeah. With Freeman.
Yeah.
As the Hobbit.
Their rapport in Sherlock is fantastic.
Oh, it's sweet. It is
fantastic. Fun. You can get them free at Amazon.
Oh, can I?
Video on demand for Amazon Prime.
All right. All right, I'll check it out.
There's two seasons?
Two seasons, three episodes each. Yeah. Six episodes is all it. Each one's 90 minutes. Each one's 90 minutes.
A real length. Personally, I like a 90-minute show.
Yeah.
It's long enough to get in depth into character development.
A show's 90 minutes?
Yeah. It's British, isn't it?
Please don't. Don't do that.
It's not Scottish.
Don't do that. No.
Stop.
You're not Scottish.
Stop, you're killing. Killing me. Stop
it. You know, if it's not Scottish,
it's crap.
Dude.
Alright, so what else we got going on? We gonna talk about what you got on your playlist?
No, we already did that before. what are we gonna play? You are getting ready to go on a short hiatus.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Looking that way.
I'm looking to run Deadlands for a little bit. Deadlands Noir. Poor Jeff is so mad. He hates when I do this, cause.
I go away and he runs what I want to play.
Well, that's why he does it.
Perfect. Well, they've released that for, Hero Lab.
Hero Lab, yes.
So, if you've got Hero Lab and you get the Savage Worlds, you can get the Deadlands, patch for that. Mm-hmm. Deadlands Noir, Deadlands, Hell on Earth. You can get those for free.
Yeah.
So, it's a pretty good deal if you're into Savage Worlds. I'm not gonna get to play.
Sure you can.
I never get to play Savage Worlds. I think I run it all the time and I think I've gotten to play once. I think we played, yours. It was the one you ran the Rippers thing.
Oh yeah, that one shot?
The one shot, yeah. I think that's the only time, well, with this group.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
I think,
out of what?
I think Mike, I think Mike with Morpheus Plus getting tired of seeing me sit down at his table.
Yeah, but I mean, you've played six of those, right? Six Savage Worlds games over the past 2 years, probably, at Gen Con. Maybe 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay, because you play some other stuff.
Yeah, I play a few.
And you use Savage Saturday Night.
Mm-hmm.
So of all those games that you've played, mm-hmm. you've only had one experience that wasn't optimal.
Mediocre, yes.
It wasn't the best one last time. That's fine. But it was still, I still had fun.
Yep.
And how many times did you, other Savage Saturday Nights, the past three Savage Saturday Nights, one wasn't the best, the two before that, you wouldn't shut up about for months afterwards and how much fun it was.
Which ones were those?
Was one with Todd killing a dragon in one stroke.
Oh, that was a good shot, yeah.
Another time, I guess, was a Mike game, but driving the truck off the bridge.
Yeah, yeah.
And you even had a guy that you didn't much care for in that game.
I don't like how I'm coming off in this conversation.
And how much fun have you had? You've played nothing but Savage Worlds the past few years at Gen Con.
I haven't played nothing but yeah, played a lot of Savage Worlds.
No, mostly. Mouse Guard. You played a game of Mouse Guard, which was excellent.
But we're talking about Savage Worlds.
Yeah. You don't want to talk about you anymore? Let's not talk about Jeff anymore.
Good.
We were talking about how the one game he wants to play, no one will run. That's where we started with.
Yeah, but you know.
Here.
Yeah. Here. Okay. Oh, here.
Locally. That was the whole point.
And this is where he is. I mean, except for when he's not, and that one will play.
And when he's not here, that's when we play Savage Worlds.
I'm going to start a Hell on Earth game.
Yeah. On the Sunday night game. Yeah.
2 months?
In 2 months.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
I'll have to pick that up.
Mm-hmm. You want to play?
Copy.
I do too. And they don't sell it in hardback.
You want to play
PDF?
You
can only get it in Savage Worlds.
Yeah.
Hell on Earth. Sure. Sunday nights.
Sure. Every other Sunday.
Sunday. Every other Sunday.
I have to think about that.
Okay.
Do you have another group you play with?
No.
Oh, I thought you did.
I did.
Once upon a time, but
Sundays it's just kind of a family day.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Ugh. How was it?
Good.
Tonight's podcast is brought to you by Four Roses Bourbon.
It's delicious. Small batch, baby.
I can't drink right now. I'm still recovering from the flu.
Oh, you can drink.
No, I just had some medication.
You can still drink. It's just you won't like what happens afterwards.
I gotta get up and work in the morning.
You might wake up in 13 hours.
Might.
That's why I like to give blood.
So, the other night, and the other group, one of the guys brought a pedometer back to Doug. Because they had apparently had some kind of discussion about how difficult it is to get 10,000 steps. 10,000 steps a day. Mm-hmm. This person, this individual got, what, 2,500 maximum?
In a day?
Mm-hmm. And, Doug, would you like to tell people how many you generated in one day without trying?
Well, the day I went to the grocery, I scored 1,200 steps. I was pretty proud about that.
You go down every aisle?
I did, actually. I did go down every aisle.
Twice.
Well, to get to work, he only has to walk 12 steps.
That's right.
he telecommutes from home, so.
I did get dressed to come here. I want you to know.
He only wears underwear twice a week.
The only time he leaves the house is to come in game. I mean, that's...
No, I gotta go out for food, too.
Yeah, food, groceries.
You can have that delivered.
Well, you know, Amazon will deliver.
Yeah, I looked into it.
Green Beans. There's the company called Green Bean.
Was it Campbell Scott and Singles? There is absolutely no reason to leave the house in the modern day. None. Whatsoever.
What was this in?
Singles? The movie Singles?
I don't know if I've seen it.
20 years ago.
Before your time.
It's before mine. Yeah, okay.
You were a baby then.
Yeah. All of 23.
No, it was back. It was a grunge music movie with,
Yeah, it wasn't my scene.
Old.
Not my bag, baby.
Eddie Vedder was in it before he was Eddie Vedder.
Oh.
Well, no,
he wasn't national yet.
Yeah, I think it had come out. I think, I think 10 had come out. Because I knew who Eddie Vedder was, I wouldn't have known otherwise.
It's kind of like the secret, hey, that's Eddie Vedder.
That's Eddie Vedder. Yeah, that was like the big gag. It's like, oh, that's the lead singer to Pearl Jam. He was in a band with Matt Dillon. Matt Dillon is in there.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there in a time period when he was washed up?
No, I know. It was when he was making his resurgence. When he came out, it was about the time they did Something About Mary. Is that the name of the movie?
Yeah.
Something About Mary.
Yeah, that's right. He was in that.
He came out and did that, and he did a couple other things. But yeah, that's when he was making his comeback. He's making a comeback. It didn't last very long, but he did make a comeback. A short one.
Well, here you go.
The dump's packing up.
Sunday, you can start registering for Gen Con. So after this podcast drops, you will have had 2 weeks of registering for Gen Con. This podcast will be recorded on the 23rd of January.
We could release it before.
Yeah, I could release it this weekend if you want.
It doesn't matter. Nobody's going to listen to it.
So, anyways, so Gen Con.
Why is everybody looking at me?
I don't know. You guys won't go.
It's not that I won't go.
Yeah, it is.
I've been. What's changed since the last time I was there?
More games. Paizo's going to be a partner. Paizo's going to be a partner this year. They're increasing their floor space by 30%.
Wow.
Yeah. It came out today, I think. It was released today.
Well, it's really neat because everybody sort of does their own thing. And they run off and they play their games and stuff. Now we all meet up. Last year we didn't really meet so much for dinner. Of course, last year
was tough.
It was raining and it was just rough.
Yeah, there was a couple of days it was bad.
And I wasn't there. I couldn't go.
Yeah, you couldn't go there the first night, which...
Thursday night?
I got that would have alleviated a lot of the pressure on me Wednesday night if you'd been able to show up.
Need somebody to watch you?
No, need somebody to occupy Todd so he doesn't get me trashed.
Right.
I blame Todd.
You're right.
I don't know if I'll do the 5K this year.
Thank God. Tired of hearing about the Orc Stomp.
Go to the Orc Stomp!
Go to the Orc Stomp!
Yeah, love whatever. The Orc Stomp! Whatever.
I ran it with a hangover at 6 in the morning!
Never yeah, that was it. That was nothing to be proud of this year. 2012, that was not to be proud of. That was a rough day. 2011, it was great. I was only a little bit hungover and it cured it. 2012, that was bad. That was very bad.
Did you puke?
No, I didn't puke.
Come on, you puke.
I didn't. I don't puke. Makes me nervous too, because I don't puke.
Okay.
I'm afraid I'll get alcohol poisoning. Puking is your body saying, no more. Please, no more.
It's usually followed by another glass to get the taste out of your mouth.
Puking is your body saying, that was too much. Actually.
Oh no, I've had too much on many occasions. Kids, don't drink. So anyway, Gen Con 2013. Bigger and better than ever.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide. Because we had talked about actually running games this year. Like Todd, I think Todd is dead set on running some games
no,
this year.
No, Todd was dead set on never running another Gen Con game ever again.
No, he was no. actually, no, he's yeah. actually talking about going and running some Savage World games.
Yeah.
Last week he said he would never run another game again. He said the stress was too much. He said all he did was worry about it up until the day of the game, and then afterwards he had a good time, and it was on the last day, so he'd never
yeah, that's
do it
why,
again.
That's why I haven't run. Well, because he was talking about after last...
He was talking about running games at Origins
to get ready for Gen Con. He was gonna get warmed up. We were gonna go and spend the night and do an Origins for a couple of days, run a couple of games, and he's gonna get his game ready.
We talked about it last week. He said he'd never run another one.
That's bizarre. That is bizarre. He needs to be medicated or something. That is bizarre. Cause that is not...
That's not what we ever...
I still have this email in my inbox where he was telling us how to register to be a Savage Worlds,
DMs.
GM, yeah.
Yeah.
Cause he was all...
I'm registered.
I haven't done it yet.
I'm still
on the fence cause I want to do it. Cause I think I could run some games, but I don't think I want to run anything that's going to require me to pack minis and stuff and carry all that stuff around. I just don't like, I mean, I would run Fiasco in a heartbeat, Dungeon World, do that in a heartbeat. Even Burning Wheel, Burning Empires, I'd run those. You know, you carry a few sheets and away you go.
Right.
You know, compared to...
Maps and minis.
Oh.
We can always take paper minis.
Yeah, but then it's gotta... No. I mean, if you're gonna do it, do it.
Yeah. Well, you bought all those plastic minis.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I got all the minis and stuff, and I can put together and take them and stuff, but then you're just dealing...
Well, I wonder where Savage Saturday Night's going to be this year. Because last year it was in our hotel.
Yeah.
And just 12 flights up, there you go. There's your stuff.
Well, and if I was running one game, I was thinking running like one a day and doing a Savage Saturday Night. And because we played and I was a little disappointed the last time we played. And I thought, well, hell, I could do better than that. You know. I mean, I could, you know, but I'm just sort of, really? Savage Saturday Night? This is it? This is what we get? I've been looking forward to this for 8 months, and this is a year, this is it.
Yeah, no, but we had, you know, British John in our group.
That was fun.
That was fun.
He had a hell of an accent.
You heard that?
We were playing and, you know, it's... I don't want to talk too much about the game because I don't want to... My intent is not to trash anybody. I don't want to do that. But we were playing and it was English, British, and Joe sitting across from us. And there's a guy sitting next to me and this guy's talking. He's got this British accent. And Joe, like the first half of the game, Joe's just like,
Man, he is killing that. That is amazing.
It turns out the guy's British.
He's just talking. Yeah. Oops. Yeah. So, anyway, I hope he's...
Been better if he had an American accent.
Well, they all do, you know.
The Brits?
Yeah.
They have an American accent?
Yeah. Just look at any movie out there right now. Oh, there's a Brit with an American accent.
Hobbit?
Have you ever watched film?
Yeah, most A-listers are actually, you know, classically trained in Britain.
Have you ever watched Strike Back? They always showed on, like, HBO, Showtime, one of those, I forget which. But it's about British Secret Service. And the two stars of the show is a guy from MI6 or whatever.
Yeah, MI6.
And then a guy that's like ex-CIA or something like that. The guy who's ex-CIA is British.
Playing an American.
Playing an American. And if you listen to him, you would not know he was British. The guy who's playing the MI6, American, playing with a British accent. And if you listen to him, you would not think he was American. It's crazy.
I was surprised to know that Jamie Bamber was a British show,
wasn't it?
I don't know. I think it's just made for Showtime or HBO or whatever.
He's British.
Yeah, he's British. I knew he was British.
Well,
Jamie Bamber was Captain Apollo in the relaunch of
Battlestar. Oh, was he?
Yeah.
She watched Chuck?
Yeah. She's Australian.
She's Australian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's on Dexter. It's good.
I don't know. I saw an episode of Dexter. I don't get it.
It's good.
I don't get it.
It's good.
All right. So what have we covered?
Gen Con? Movies? No. Yeah. TV. No movies. Gangster Squad.
Current TV.
I think we talked about Gangster Squad
before. Yeah, before we start recording.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Not good.
It's not good.
Is it like Sin City?
No. It's nothing like Sin City.
Which was neither bad nor good. It was just sort of there.
Well, Sin City had its ups and downs.
It's really it's amazing shooting techniques. I just wish they'd had the actors in the same room with each other. It would have been nice, you know, to have actors actually reacting off of each other, you know.
We
can shoot a movie and you never have to see another human being.
Right.
It's an amazing process.
No, Gangster Squad, I was telling Bill, Gangster Squad felt like a long 10-episode series that had been chopped down to 2 hours. Because you kept getting these high points, but it felt strung along in a weird way. It's not that it was bad, it just wasn't very good.
Like The Untouchables?
It's not as good as The Untouchables. It's not as good. It's the same idea of a movie, but it's not as good as The Untouchables. Sean Penn, though, is the bad guy, Mickey Cohen. Amazing. Amazing. Best part of the movie. Okay, so movies, TV, Gen Con, gaming, anything left?
Four Roses.
Four Roses. Tonight's episode is brought to you by Four Roses. Single Barrel.
Small Batch.
Small Batch? Small. Oh, yeah, Single Barrel expensive.
Small Batch. Yeah, I think I would know. Yeah. So, This Is 40, Saturday night. I was going in, and my nephew, he's my oldest nephew, he's 16. So we're going to see This Is 40, he said, because we're dropping off my son for my mom to watch him. And he said, yeah, and he was there. And he said, yeah, it's a lot of cussing. A lot more than you think. And I went, really? Okay. Which is a bizarre thing for a 16-year-old to say. And then I got to the movie and I went, I'll be damned, he's right. This is an obscene amount of cussing. This is an absurd. I'm sure Apatow's going for something with this. There's a point.
Was there?
To the cussing?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I guess there's some payoff in one joke, but...
This is the one that's sequel to...
Kind of, yeah. And, but, you know, I watch it and I go, you know, I'm in that category. I'm in that group. But, you know, I cuss. I cuss all the time. But I'm starting to be offended. I'm a little uncomfortable. Well, I'm uncomfortable with that.
Could have been worse. Could have taken your mom with you.
I suppose.
I had the family sitting next to me. They came in, there were about six or eight of them, and the one with the two-year-old sat down next to me.
Oh, God.
That was surreal. Sweet little girl. She was adorable. I don't know why her mom had her out at 8:30 at night to watch the foulest movie I think I have ever seen. I mean, it was funny. I mean, the problem.
Judd Apatow movie.
Yeah, yeah, I know. It was still pretty funny. I mean, it was a funny movie.
Okay, then.
So there you go.
Bill, seen any movies lately?
The Hobbit.
Hobbit. That was good. I enjoyed The Hobbit. Doug?
I think The Hobbit's the last movie I saw in the theater.
Yeah.
I think I've seen one since then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we went to see the...
Lincoln?
Did see Lincoln.
I'm not seeing it yet.
Like that. Like
Django
that.
And Jane?
Huh?
Talk Django and Jane? Talk no. about foul movies?
Yeah. I can't get my wife to go see that.
Yeah,
so
I think you
I'm
would.
I'm going to have to... No, she's...
The guy movie.
She's not really into the violence.
Did you get her to go to the... What was the other one? The World War II one?
No, that one I saw on pay-per-view. Yeah. DirecTV. I believe. I think she may have seen it, but...
Yeah, my wife wouldn't like those movies.
Yeah, I like Tarantino, but I think he's...
I still haven't forgiven him for Kill Bill.
I mean, I like... Yeah,
Pulp Part 2. Hey, Kill Bill in Part 2. It was just... The payoff was so weak. So weak.
I don't know. I think it fit.
Nah. You didn't see it, Doug?
I saw it.
You liked it, though.
I saw it 8 years ago.
Yeah. I know. I appreciate what he's going for. I just don't appreciate those movies. And, like, I mean, he did a great job. It was sort of like, what was the other one he did with the two back-to-back? It was like the two movies put back-to-back. And one was
only,
like,
he only did one of those.
Grindhouse.
He only did one of those?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, he only did one of the movies?
Yeah.
Which one did he do?
The Death Car?
Death Car. Yeah. It was great watching that. You know, but then I go, you know, if this were anything but a parody, I would have stopped watching it. But it was really fun to watch, you know, the mistakes that he put in on purpose.
Yeah, like the missing reel cuts and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, like where...
The bad bubbly film.
Who's, Kurt Russell.
Intermission?
Kurt Russell, yeah, Kurt Russell's there and he's watching some girls or something. He pulls out the camera, I forget if it's camera binoculars, but he does take the cap off the lens. He's sitting there watching them. Yeah, you know, as an actor, don't you think you'd look and go, I can't see a thing. Maybe it was a camera, yeah, like this long lens camera, and he pulls the camera out and he starts snapping photos like those. Cap's still on that, dude. So, I mean, that was funny. Those little things were really funny. But, yeah. I remember movies in the 70s. I didn't like them then either.
They did the same thing with one of the DC shorts for Martian Manhunter? I'm looking at Bill. Did you see any of those shorts? When they had for a few years there, when DC would come out with a movie, animated movie on disc, they have a short wrapped up in it. And I think the one was The Martian Manhunter, and it was shot as if it was a 70s TV show. And, it was, including, you know, the graininess of the film and all that stuff. It was really well done. Really
what was good. That, what's that? The thing, it's on YouTube, it's,
kind of Cats? Somebody doing
cats
something
playing piano? No,
playing
it was
ping pong.
No, it was this thing where they were. I'd have to look it up. Black Star Warrior, I think is what it's called.
Oh, I know which one you're talking
right,
about.
Right, where the whole thing is Star Wars was stolen from this guy who had written a movie. It was a blaxploitation flick about Han or Lando Calrissian, and the original movie is all about Lando. And it's shot in that green, that 70s, and it's great. It is so well
I've
done.
I've seen it.
It is really, I mean, that in Troops.
Troops was just...
Which is classic.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, those are really great spoofs. So.
Yeah, you see what you're gonna do here. You're gonna go over and get your buddy.
Hey, you, you sir, are you his cousin? Are you his cousin? No. Listen to me. Are you his cousin? Where did you get these droids? Okay. Oh, he's running.
Yay! That was great. You can tell they're having a ton of fun shooting that too. When the Jawa's running, gets shot and his whole head turns into fire.
You know, some people say that Tatooine's the ass end of the universe, but I think it's got a real small town feel. I love it here. Where'd you get these droids? Are these your droids?
Oh, your
cousin.
No,
you stand over there. I'll get to you in a minute. You stand over there.
God, that was great. That was classic. I actually bought a magazine just so I could get a DVD of that.
Are you going to do a breakdown of this episode at the beginning of what we talked about?
What? The stream of consciousness? Yes. Oh my god. Well, we got two links.
Troops. Are you going to put in troops?
I'll put in troops and I'll put in
Black Star Warrior.
Because that is funny.
Put in Four Roses.
Oh, yeah. I'll put in a link for Four Roses,
small batch bourbon. They probably don't want our.
We're not affiliated!
We don't know
who these people.
We're not affiliated.
But we'd be happy if they drank more bourbon. So would we. Bourbon.
Yeah, if they want to send us a bottle, we'd be happy to plug you every episode.
Yeah.
As long as it lasts.
As long as the bourbon lasts?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. We can manage that. Unless Todd's here.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
No. I don't even think we'd get through that. You know, it'd be like halfway through the episode. Yeah, we're done plugging you, buddy. Thanks for short-changing us.
Did we ever talk about that on the podcast for the Holly Jolly
episode? Oh, I think you can hear me in the background. Like, yeah, you did talk about it. I don't know if you talked about it, but we take a break. We get to the first act of our fiasco.
Holly Jolly
episode. It was us up, we were upstairs. And I think we'll take a break. I hit the restroom. I'll come downstairs and I'll get some of the bourbon that's down here. I walk down here and the bottle is empty.
We've been playing an hour and a half.
30 seconds before you walked in the door, it was empty.
It was. It was like right before you started coming down the steps. Todd's going, well, let's finish this off. And he's pouring it in all our glass.
Measuring it out. Like,
it's brutal. I'm standing in the doorway there.
Looking like someone just kicked his puppy.
With a glass full of ice.
That's cold.
It was. It was cold, man. It was. Thank goodness Roy had some bourbon up in his kitchen.
The funniest thing
editing. Or I would have had to take something apart.
The funniest thing editing that podcast, listening to you guys playing upstairs, and I get towards the end of it, you guys are wrapping your game up, and our guys were just a little bit behind you, and all of a sudden you hear Todd just start screaming, and you can't hear exactly what he's saying, you just hear him screaming. And I'm like, I know exactly what point that was.
What was he screaming about? I remember.
It was at the very end of the episode. I forget exactly what he was screaming about, but
he was Beauregard.
It was when we were having our. Were you upstairs? You were upstairs. You were down here. Doug was down here. I think it was during the chase scene at the end when he started screaming. He got up and got animated. Oh God, it was funny.
Great.
It's so funny, because y'all just go right over top of you. There's like a little hiccup when y'all hear Todd, and then there's like,
I don't recall hearing Todd.
Yeah, I think we may have looked at each other like,
okay, what is going on?
Yeah, and kept going, but.
No, nobody commented about it. That was the funny part.
Well, it's Todd. What are you going to say?
What was that?
No, we know what
that
it
was. That was Todd.
Yep.
That was Todd and the bourbon.
That was so disappointing. I died a little that day.
Yeah,
you left
sure
the bottle
did.
With Todd. What did you expect? I'm just saying, you left the bottle with Todd.
Who brought that? Point?
I don't know.
Did Todd bring that, or did Joe bring that?
I think he brought it. He brought it.
Because Joe was upstairs with you guys.
What was it?
No,
Joe was down here. That's right.
Todd got to the lake to Gen Con, 2 years ago?
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
Because of work, he couldn't make it, and he didn't get there like Friday.
Yeah, Friday.
Friday afternoon. And he said he got there, he parked his car, he got his bag out of the car, put his keys in his pocket, pulled out a bottle of Jim Beam Black Label, and turned it upside down, mm-hmm. right there by his car, and then walked. I mean, I think he killed
He killed about a quarter of it, and then
just getting to the hotel room.
Yeah. And then we finish it off. But he was like, he started drinking it in the room, and drinking out of the bottle in the room. We're like, how long have you had that? He goes, about 15 minutes. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, I opened it as soon as I got out of my car. I'm like, oh my God. All right, we need to get Todd some food.
Yeah, and I think he was doing My Fitness at the time. He says, I've had 15,000 calories today that's been all alcohol.
That's right. Well, I won't have to worry.
Or 1,500.
1,500?
1,500.
Yeah,
1,500
calories.
50,000
would
be a lot.
That'd be a lot.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of alcohol.
Yeah. So.
Well, I won't have to worry about the auction this year because I'm not going to be putting anything in. It's a little disappointing, though. That's where I've paid for my floor money. That's what I use for my floor money.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to do that. But.
It is. It gets to be a little addictive going back over to the auction area. What are mine sold? What's sold? What's sold? What's not? Oh, they bought this, but they didn't buy that? And I'm like, yeah, crazy. But, you know, hey, at the end of the week, I never bring anything home and except cash. I'm fine with that.
I always bring something home. There's so many nice and
from the auction, I mean. The stuff I take up there to sell, I've never brought anything back. Except for one book, and I hate the book, and I can understand why no one bought it. It's still on my shelf. I need to get rid of it.
What book would that be?
Walrus and the Warlord.
Which is?
One of the worst books I've ever read in my life.
Okay.
So tell us about it.
It's the reason I won't read a China Mieville novel, because.
Why don't you just throw it away?
Because I paid money for it, and I can't just throw it
away. Take
the
twice sold.
I don't want to inflict it upon anybody else either. In the first 10 pages.
Wait, you want to sell it at auction, but you don't want to inflict on
I don't
people.
Want to give it away.
He wants to give it to somebody who's paid for it. So obviously.
Look, it's obviously, I mean, it's a whole series from Australia. And obviously it's very popular, and it's not my kind of book. The main character is so unlikable that it just throws me completely out of the whole series. I mean, the stuff that the character does throws me out. I don't even want to talk about it because it's just so foul. But it's apparently a very popular series. I have no idea why. But because China Mieville says it's the best series ever written, I can't read any of his novels now.
Who's China Mieville?
He's a very popular fantasy writer right now. He's written a lot of crazy sci-fi-ish fantasy novels. Perdido Street Station is one of the more famous ones. One of the last paper issues of Dragon Magazine actually had a full write-up of his books.
And how many years ago was that?
Oh, that was a long time ago. But he's published. He's quite an affluent publisher, and he publishes quite a bit.
Prolific,
not affluent. Thank you.
Well, he might be affluent.
He might be affluent, too. I don't know.
He probably is. People keep buying his books.
He can't be. He likes this stupid series. God, it's just awful. Anyway.
You don't have to be, you don't have to have taste to be talented.
That's true.
Thank God.
Thank God. On that note, everyone say goodnight.
Goodnight.
Night.
Really? That's where we're ending?
I don't know. Where do you want to end?
Oh, well, that's fine. I just...
on a down.
You don't have to have taste to be talented. Is that... That should go on the shirt.
That should go on the shirt.
You don't have to have taste to be talented.
Yeah, by the way, you'll see us wearing shirts with various sayings from the past year on in Gen Con.
Really? Are we?
I hope so.
Of course we do.
We've only got like two or three now.
Well, from the past year.
From the past year? We've had
we have a whole year's worth from the past year.
Lots of sayings, but are they shirt worthy?
That's a good question.
They gotta be shirt worthy.
You don't have now, all of Gen you don't have talent all of Gen Con is in last year. Last Gen Con.
Hey, look, at the end of every Gen Con, we send an email around about all the stuff we learned. I mean, it goes about 100 long. There's got to be some sayings in there.
but some lessons just keep getting there.
Dude, he's got an
apple. I didn't understand that.
She's got an Adam's apple. We'll leave that one alone, but my God. Find us at Gen Con. We'll tell you that story.
And on that note, say goodnight.
Night.
Goodnight.
Goodnight.
Hey gamers, since this was a chat episode, I just got right to the talk without any intro. Anyways, I just want to remind you to send comments, critique, and general feedback to our voicemail, 502-4141-RU, that's 502-4141-766, or send us email, roy@rusackgamers.com. Stop by our RPGCrosstalk.com forum, just scroll down to the Rusack Gamer section. Listen to us on Stitcher. Just go to Stitcher.com, download the program to your computer, phone, or tablet, and listen whichever way you prefer. We hope you enjoyed the show. Now finally, for legal reasons, I must remind you that you've been listening to an actual play podcast by the Rusack Gamers. This production is wholly owned by its creators and is distributed under the Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License.